You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryu.
We are the TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. We are back after an extended hiatus. The last you heard from us, we were recapping The Traitors Season 2.
That was a wonderful, wonderful time, and I'm so sad it's gone.
And we'll talk about The Traitors today, because we are here to talk about, as we do every year, we are reacting to the Emmy nomination. So we are here to talk about the 2024 Emmy noms. We're going to do it a little bit differently this time. Normally we run through and do like a category by category, comprehensive, should win, will win. I think that's a little played out. You know, we can get a little bit more creative with it. We've been doing some drafts in some recent episodes. So we'll talk overall what we think about these nominations in general. We'll do some surprises, some snubs, and then we'll do a bit of a draft. We'll get to that in a little bit, but basically we'll be drafting from the nominated shows. First things first, Brandi, when you look at these Emmy nominations, what are your overall thoughts?
I mean, my honest first thought was, didn't we just have the Emmys?
Can I just say, my number one thing about the Emmys, which I love and I live for this shit, but for God's sake, can we just get on a calendar year schedule like everything else? Like the confusion of having to talk about these. We just watched The Bear Season 3, but The Bear Season 2 is nominated because that came out before the deadline, which is the end of May. They're still on the old school broadcast TV schedule. That's not how people watch TV anymore.
Yeah.
You gotta go yearly. You gotta go January to December, be in the mix with all the other award shows. Like, it's a weird outlier that I still don't understand why they haven't shifted it yet. But anyway.
Yeah. But my other thought was, oh my God, I haven't watched any of these dramas. And this is coming from, like, I feel like I've been watching a lot of TV.
Right. If I know you, though, you've done most of the comedies. You've probably done...
I've done all the comedies.
The limited anthologies you're probably pretty good on.
All the limited, yeah. What I also loved was just, like, I feel like, is this, like, the first year that, like, they actually put their money where their mouth is? RE diversity?
Ooh, okay.
Because it feels like everybody's getting a chance. I'm seeing Reservation Dogs in there, finally.
Shogun being the most nominated show of the entire slate is thrilling. I know you haven't seen it, but I freaking loved it.
Yeah, no, I just like the types of shows, like seeing I'm going to say the name of it wrong. We Only Work in Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Well, yes. I was like, why? It's because it's too many words. Sorry, whoever named that joke.
Taika Waititi, literally.
Yeah, like too many. Like, I need like Shogun. Okay, yeah. Got it. Hacks, got it. Just seeing a show like that in the comedy section. Like, it just, I don't know. I was really happy.
Brandi, let's do this. Let's run through just like the big hitters.
Sounds great.
So in drama series, we have The Crown from Netflix. That's the final season there. We have Fallout from Amazon Prime Video. That was the first season. The Gilded Age on Max, season 2. The Morning Show on Apple TV. I think that's season 3 or 4. It's been on for a while. And I have a bone to pick on that one. We'll come back to it. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the breakout from Prime Video. Shogun, the even bigger breakout on FX. Slow Horses, finally recognized in its third season. That's an Apple TV show. And another new one on Netflix, Three Body Problems. So those are the drama series. I'm cool with most of this. I like The Crown a lot historically. This last season was not very good. Weird to see this year. I think it has a little bit of that old school Netflix energy working for it. But my biggest problem, what are we doing continually nominating The Morning Show? And we'll get into more of this with the acting categories. But that show is objectively not good. They flew Reese Witherspoon to space and then they put her on January 6th in the Capitol, and yet we're still giving this nominations. I don't understand. I think Matt Rogers said it best when he was on our podcast and on his own podcast. The show is written by third graders, and I don't understand how it keeps getting nominated for best fucking drama. It's ridiculous.
Honestly, that's what I thought when I saw it was nominated. I remembered Matt Rogers saying that. I was like, why is this show getting so much love? Am I just going to be like watching the show? Like, first of all, let me just full disclosure. Like, I had to make some tough, difficult cuts in terms of streaming services. And it wasn't that tough and difficult. Apple TV Plus was the first to go.
I disagree with that. They got the shit, Brandi.
But then I see that like all of these shows and I'm like, oh, wow. It's like Apple TV where it's at. So like, I'm definitely getting it back when Severance comes back. But I had gotten rid of it because I was like, I'm not watching anything on it. But then I discovered the show Loot, which I love, which we'll talk about.
People are talking about Loot, and that's coming back for a third season.
It's really great. It's just a great thing to watch. We'll talk about when we get to the acting categories. But like, yeah, so like, I'm ready to go back.
I need to call out one Apple show that it came out last spring, summer. So it was kind of right on the edge of the Emmy window. It was like a May to like July show last year, May to June. But Silo on Apple.
I remember you talking about it, actually.
Absolutely rocks. And I hope to see it on future Emmy lists when it inevitably comes back for future seasons. I actually just read the whole trilogy that it's based on, and like, it's all I think about, and it's such a cool story. I can't wait for it to come back. So I wish there were some Silo love on this list. I understand maybe it was a little bit of a tweener, was on a long time ago, whatever, but everything else here I'm pretty cool with. Fallout was great. Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I really want to see Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Like, I love Maya Erskine.
I think you'd like it a lot. And it's Donald Glover, It's cool. They kind of invert the movie. So the original movie with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie was like, they're a married couple that find out they're both spies. Mm-hmm. This is two spies. Donald Glover, Maya Erskine are two spies put together, and their cover is they're married. So you see them navigate this. They're strangers when they meet each other and they got to be married, and then things ensue. I know we were texting before this. You haven't seen Shogun.
I haven't seen Shogun. I had no interest in seeing Shogun. But convince me. Like, because a lot of people at my work, there were a lot of people watching it and enjoying it.
What about it makes you say, you know what, not for me?
I thought it was like a Western, I also thought it was like from like the 70s. I thought it was an old Western type thing that was in the 70s, and now like they're remaking it.
It takes place in feudal Japan in the 1600s.
You know what? Maybe I at some point in my life saw feudal, and that to me, I read Western.
Yeah. It's giving, and this is an oft-used comparison that's not entirely correct, but it's a good shorthand. It has Game of Thrones vibes. It's about a time in feudal Japan where, like, and it's been a while since I've seen this, so if I misuse any terms here, I apologize. But basically, like, the emperor dies, and there's a conflict between, like, five clans, basically, and the leaders of those, like, five sectors, areas, clans of Japan. And it's all about jockeying for position, but it starts from the perspective of this European dude whose ship crash lands in Japan. The female characters are incredible and wildly compelling. The layers of characterization in the show is great. The twists, the turns, it's violent, it's sexy. Acting is phenomenal. The writing's great. It looks awesome. It's mostly in Japanese, so like, you're locked in. You're reading subtitles as you're watching, which I love. I like a show that forces you to not be on your phone while you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to hear from a lot of people, this might be a front runner. This is people's favorite / best show of the year.
Okay, fine.
Have you been sold?
I'm sold enough to watch the pilot, but I think probably I'll wait until I can watch it with Moses, because I think he would enjoy this.
I think Moses.
It sounds like a dual watch.
Yeah. Let's move on to comedy, shall we? Because this one's interesting. We have Abbott Elementary on ABC. We have The Bear on FX. Important to note, we all just watched season 3 because it just came out. These are nominations for season 2. So this is the building of the restaurant from last summer, if you can believe it.
And most importantly, the fishes episode.
The fishes, and I think more importantly, the forks episode.
Oh, forks.
Oof. We have Curb Your Enthusiasm, the final season on Max / HBO. We have season 3, the most recent season of Hacks, which I loved a lot. I thought it was incredible.
So good.
Only Murders in the Building, which I still haven't kept up with since season 1 on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Palm Royale on Apple TV. This one's are we sure about that? Reservation Dogs. I'm very excited to see Reservation Dogs here. That was the final season. Thrilled to see it here. And then What We Do in the Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Just reliably funny, reliably nominated. So it's fun to see that one as well.
Yeah. The only bone to pick that I have in this category is that I love The Bear.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so good. I think it's a great, great show. I do not think that you can adequately judge The Bear and Abbott Elementary.
Two very different shows.
They're both very, yeah. They're both really, really, really good. But like, and I could even give you Hacks and Abbott Elementary. Because I feel like Abbott Elementary is like, that's a comedy.
Webster's Dictionary comedy.
Yeah. Webster's Dictionary, Emmy nominated, really, really well done comedy show.
Yeah.
And it's not, and I think that The Bear is absolutely amazing. Season two was out of control. Like, it was so good.
Incredible. Yeah.
But like, it is not a comedy.
And I mean, and everyone says that. Here's the thing. I think the Academy doesn't give a shit. I think it's less about actual content of what we're watching and more runtime. So really what these should be is like best hour long, best half hour.
Yeah.
That would be way more appropriate. Because even like when Succession was nominated, like Succession was more of a comedy than The Bear was. You know what I mean? So like it's really just it's hour long and it's half hour to 40-ish minutes long, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I like that's honestly my only issue with this category is that I just feel like The Bear is so good and I wouldn't be surprised if it swept.
It's going to win. Yeah.
And I just feel like that's really unfair too.
It is and it isn't. Cause like there are funny moments. And I think this season three, which we just watched, I think took some of that criticism and took it to heart. That's why we have so many more scenes with the facts. Mm-hmm. God bless, we didn't need that many scenes with the facts. Like, you don't need to be more of a comedy just because people keep yelling that you're not a comedy. Just be what you are.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I don't mind it as much as other people. I'm like, wherever you want to submit, like, there's category fraud up, down, left, right, and center. Shows that are billed as miniseries or limiteds and then get picked up. They're in miniseries for 1 year, then they're not. People who should be lead actors or actresses are supporting because they think they'll have a better chance. At this point, it's baked in. So I'm like, do whatever the fuck you want. I don't care.
Yeah.
Win against your competition. It's up to you.
Yeah. But like as an Emmy voter, it is, it's tough. Okay.
Yeah. So The Bear's going to sweep it. But what's your number two behind The Bear, do you think, in this category?
Hacks.
I think so too. This last season was really good as well.
Like 100%.
Yeah.
Like this last season was so good. Like their relationship is finally like grown to kind of where it should be. Like all the pieces have been building in seasons one and two. And like now we're here.
Yeah. And that last episode, that last scene of the last episode, not to spoil anything, but like that role reversal where Ava gets one over on Deborah.
On Deborah.
I was up off the couch yelling at the screen like, you fucking get it. Let's go. It was thrilling. But in that moment, I'll be honest, didn't feel like a comedy, felt like a drama. You know what I mean? Like all of these shows have these shades.
I mean, the amount of times I cried in Hacks.
Yeah. I can't move on from this category though without giving big ups to Reservation Dogs. The final season was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. Again, it was less laugh out loud funny and more like conclusion of character journeys and, you know, a meditation on like generations and community and going back home and all of these beautiful, deep, heartfelt things. Like, it's not laugh a minute, but I understand where it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I would give that a shout. It's not going to win, but I wish it well.
No. And thank you because you are the reason that I started watching the show.
Hell yes. Love that.
Yeah.
Last big top line category here. And this one, I think things are up for grabs. There's a lot to talk about here. So limited or anthology series. We have Baby Reindeer on Netflix. We have the fifth season of Fargo on FX. That's the one with Juno Temple and Jon Hamm. We have Lessons in Chemistry on Apple TV with Brie Larson. Ripley on Netflix, which is under-discussed and I think underwatched, but I really, really liked it.
I had not heard of it until I saw it on the list.
And then finally, we have True Detective Night Country, which I actually never got around to on Max.
I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it. I loved it. I mean, you know, I love Jodie Foster, but like it was really good, especially because like True Detective really fell off after the first season. Like the second season, because the second season was the one that was like the water stuff, right? Like Inland Empire, California, like nobody wants to be there.
Second season sucked. Yeah.
The third season, I think I didn't because like I didn't even finish the second season. I don't even know if I started the third season because the third season.
You know what's funny? Third season was Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
And when this new Night Country came out, I was like, you know what? I should catch up first. So I watched season three and loved it and kind of got to the end and was like, you know what? I think that's all the True Detective that I need. And I never started season four. I just really liked season three. So I just kind of left it there.
See, I love season four. It was set in Alaska. It was just very, like, the entire atmosphere was so cold and off-putting. And they did just such a great job of, like, it's, I never want to go. I never, ever want to go to the town, to there, to there.
You know what it's giving, Brandy? And you'll know this well, and I know this well now as well. It's giving Alone season 11 up in the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
By the end, it's like fucking 20 hours of dark. You know,
yeah.
Like it's wild.
And that's like, that's when the season starts, I think. It's like on like the first
it's in the full
day.
Dark,
yeah,
right?
It's on the first day of night.
Okay. But that said, though, so you're caping for a True Detective. I loved Ripley. I am deeply infatuated with Andrew Scott, a.k.a. Hot Priest, a.k.a. the lead of one of my favorite movies of the last year, All of Us Strangers. He was fantastic in this. It's based on the novel that inspired The Talented Mr. Ripley with Matt Damon and Jude Law back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Which I love.
It's a little bit different. It's not exactly the same. It's big vibes. It's black and white. It's Steven's alien. It's mood. It's tone. There's long stretches on any dialogue. It's gorgeous. Andrew Scott is awesome. It doesn't take exactly the same beats as the movie. Things change and shift, so you don't know exactly what to expect all the time. I freaking loved it. I think it's one of the best things I've seen this year. And I loved Fargo season 5. I thought that was the best season of Fargo in a while.
Loved Fargo season 5.
Juno Temple, I believe she's nominated, and she
better be, because she did it.
She is. So she's up against Jodie Foster, Brie Larson, Lessons in Chemistry, Sofia Vergara from Griselda, didn't see it, and then Naomi Watts from Feud, Capote versus Swans, which is not great. Yeah, I got to root for Juno on that one.
It's between her and Jodie Foster.
Yeah, but that said, I love that season of television. But for me, this has to be Baby Reindeer.
Yeah.
It has to. I haven't been as moved by a season of television in a very long time. I was nervous. I was anxious. I was in tears. I was laughing. I was crying. I was scared. I was excited. Like, just the whole gamut of human emotion.
And that you still come to the end and you don't really know who you're okay with in that show.
Right?
Like, who is the character? It's like, because it's still like, I don't know, main guy is like still kind of sketch. It's like, I do feel for Martha, like she's crazy as a bed bug, but I feel for her. And it's like, and also it's like he, like everything about it was great. I can't see this not winning. If this doesn't win, it means that they didn't watch it.
Right, exactly. I mean, I probably watched Donnie's, Richard Gadd's like breakdown on stage maybe 5 or 6 times. Like the most moving thing I've seen on TV in years. Absolutely incredible. We can kind of pick our way through some of these acting categories. A lot of these are tied to the show's, you know, kind of top of the table. So we got lead actress in drama series. What is the deal with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon both being nominated? I kind of can't stand it. They're just fine. Anna Sawai in Shogun, though, is great here. And Maya Erskine is nominated, as was Donald Glover. So if they win, I don't think they will, but that would be fun. Lead actor in a comedy. This is Jeremy Allen White's to lose, quite honestly.
I think it would be between him and Larry David, and only because this is the last season of
the
Curb, and Jeremy Allen White still has the next season of The Bear to come back. You know what I mean?
That's right. Do want to call out Matt Berry from What We Do in the Shadows, though. He's the best part of that show, and I'd love to see him nominated for lead actor here. Lead actress in a comedy, we got... Again, I think it's The Bear. It's Ayo Edebiri. It's hers to lose.
Ooh,
but Jean Smart from Hacks...
Maya Rudolph is so good in Loot. She's so good.
But nobody's watching Loot is the problem. I don't think nobody's watching that show.
I don't know. As an Academy voter, sorry to toot my own horn again, guys. but that's why I watched it, because I went to a screening for it. And then I was like, wait, this show's great. And so I was like, let me go and look at all of this. I have the screener for this. Let me go look at this whole show. And I did. And I was like, this show's great. So it's so easy. It's delightful. It's a delightful show. And she's really good in it, because she's very, she's playing a very different character, I feel, than who she usually plays.
Okay.
Like, she's so sweet. And I keep thinking that, like, oh, like, when's the other shoe going to drop? And it's like, no, she's really sweet.
She's just sweet, right?
Yeah. I think this is between Ayo and Jean Smart.
I think so. I think so. Let's see. Some lead actors in Limiteds. Richard Gadd.
Richard Gadd. I mean, John Hamm.
Great. Andrew Scott has my heart, but Richard Gadd pulled off something that I don't think anybody else can do. It's got to be him. That episode 4. Holy shit.
I mean, John Hamm turned into someone that I hate. Like, I hate, like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, because I didn't even hate Don Draper.
Right.
Right. You know, like, I still was like, okay, like, you had a heart. I know you stole his identity, but it's okay.
Yeah.
But Richard Gadd, like, that's...
It's got to be him. It has to. He carried that whole show.
Yeah.
Let's see. Lead actress in a limited. We talked about this one. This is Jodie, probably versus Juno.
I think it's Jodie
versus Juno. And then we get a supporting actress in a drama. I'm just like, again, 4 nominations for the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but get the fuck out of here.
I think it's going to be Princess Diana, right? And I didn't even watch The Crown.
I mean, she was the best part of that show. Elizabeth Debicki is the best part of that show. Christine Baranski's good in The Gilded Age.
I love Greta Lee, even though, like, I know you're saying about the morning show, but, like, I would love for Greta Lee to get something.
But she gets nothing. None of them really have much to do. I don't know. I watch it religiously. Mm-hmm. It's fun to watch, which is what's wild about it. It's an entertaining show, but it's just not very good. It's just that's just the long and short of it. Supporting actor, we get John Hamm again from the morning show.
I know, not John Hamm, like, doing it. He's like, I'm back.
I think Tadanobu Asano from Shogun or Takehiro Hira.
Mm-hmm.
That show was just so stacked. Anywhere I see Shogun, I want Shogun to win, basically, is the long and short of it. Supporting actress in a comedy. What do we got here? Tina, Lisa Colon-Zayas from The Bear is nominated for season 2.
Oh, I love that. But, like, so sorry. This is Hannah.
Hannah Einbinder. Which, by the way, like, this feels like if we're talking category fraud, I'm sorry, Hannah, you should be lead actress in a comedy series. You're in supporting because it gives you a better shot at winning.
Yeah.
You don't have to go against Jean Smart. So.
But, like, you can't have hacks without her.
But, like, the Abbott Elementary ladies keep winning this, though. Like, can she take down Janelle James or Cheryl Lee Ralph?
It's going to be tough because they're both really good.
They're both really good.
Those are funny, actual supporting roles.
They are. That's correct. That is correct. Supporting actor in a comedy, we have Lionel Boyce from The Bear. That is Marcus.
Marcus. I was about to say Miles. I was like, it starts with an M. He's so sweet.
Yeah, Marcus. He's great. I love seeing Bowen Yang here always, but this is Eben Moss Bacharach. This is Forks.
Yeah.
This is it. He's got to win.
So good. Talk about like you change, like how John Hamm, like I hated him after Fargo. I have so much love in my heart for Richie.
Right?
Like, he can do no wrong now.
And it's funny because I was just talking to a friend of mine who I finally convinced to watch The Bear, my buddy Bill. Shout out, Bill. And he's like, he's just finishing season 1. He's seen the first couple episodes of season 2 last time I spoke with him. And I'm like, how do you feel about Richie? He's like, I fucking hate Richie. I'm like, just you wait.
Yeah, just wait.
Because that's the magic trick of The Bear season 2 is that it takes Richie from a thorn in the side, kind of annoying, what the fuck is this guy's deal? And then it turns him into not something unrecognizable because, like, he's still Richie.
It gives him his layers.
It fills him out. Exactly. Yeah.
It's just like he's not just, you go through season 1 thing and he's still one note and he felt like a very one note character. And then it's like, no, wait, like that note is actually masking a much richer person inside.
Yeah. And we'll do some supporting and limiteds here. And I'm like, we're not going to go through every single one. I promise we won't. But these actor ones are interesting to talk about. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Supporting actress in the limited. We have Dakota Fanning from Ripley, who was very good. Lily Gladstone. I never saw Under the Bridge. Did you do Under the Bridge?
I didn't. I don't even know what that is.
It's a Hulu show. It's like a crime thing.
Mm. Hulu, like, does a really bad job marketing their shit.
Let's see. We have Diane Lane was good in Feud. I think the performances in that show are better than the actual show itself. I think the head-to-head here, though, it's Martha versus Terry. It's Jessica Gunning, Nava Mao.
I honestly think it's just Martha.
I think it's Martha,
it's Jessica,
right?
Gunning. Yeah, like 100%, because she's got to get something.
I love Terry so much. But Martha was...
Terry was great, but I would almost honestly call Terry a guest actress.
A guest? No, she's supporting. She was in more. She was in like 4 or 5 episodes at least. She's definitely more than a guest.
I don't know. I feel like she popped up in a couple and then like we really got her story like in the last couple.
No, she's more than guest. Guest is like a 1 episode deal, maybe 2.
Okay.
She was in more than that for sure. Supporting actor in a limited. I really don't feel strongly about any of these folks.
Tom Goodman Hill.
Who did he play in Baby Reindeer?
That's the guy? The guy, yeah.
That was the showrunner guy?
The abuser.
Okay. I did like Lamorne Morris in Fargo. He was good, but like didn't pop out. Lewis Pullman was only in that's a guest actor. Lewis Pullman in Lessons in Chemistry, that's a fucking guest actor. Mm. He got killed off after like two episodes.
Okay.
Come on. You know who we didn't mention, just to back up a touch? Best actor or lead actor in Unlimited. I will say that Tom Hollander as Truman Capote was pretty compelling. He did a good Capote, even though that show was less than great. Anyway, okay, so that brings us to the end of our scripted nominations here. I included directing stuff, writing stuff. That'll come into play for draft purposes later down the line. But let's talk about our shared favorite genre of television, and that is unscripted reality.
You mean unstructured reality and structured reality?
Nonfiction, generally. Yes, exactly. So competition program, I think, is boring except for one huge deal. We have The Amazing Race. We have RuPaul's Drag Race. We have Top Chef. We have The Voice. Stalwarts of the category. But we also have Brandy, our favorite reality show of the year. Season 2 of The Traitors, reality competition program. I don't know if it has a chance, but I love seeing it nominated.
It definitely has a chance.
You think so?
I was, as I said before, a Television Academy voter.
I love it. Drink every time Brandy says, as a voter.
As a voter, I voted for Traitors to be in the mix.
Hell yes. Yes. Thank you.
That makes me really happy. And I actually think that it could win. I think people loved it.
I freaking hope so. It's if not now, it misses its moment, because looking at the casting for season 3, which it's good, and there's some highlights, and we could talk about those if you want. We haven't gotten a chance to talk about season 3 casting. Like, there's some decent survivors in there. No challengers, which is very upsetting.
There's no challengers, but you know what there is? There's Dorinda Medley.
There is.
Okay. Need I say more? She already got Lindsay Hubbard kicked off the show. Okay. she's coming in, and if they were smart, they wouldn't make her a traitor.
Right. You want her leading the charge in the House of Faithfuls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're both in the bag for the traitors here. And I think this one will be a hot topic once we get to our draft as well. We'll see. Structured reality program. I love, even though I haven't seen an episode since I'm like 8, the fact that Antiques Roadshow is still nominated every single year is kind of fantastic. It's up against Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, One of Brandy's Faves, Love is Blind, Queer Eye, and Shark Tank.
You know I'm in the bag for Love is Blind. I love it. And especially, this would be season 6 of
Love is Blind. Yeah, I think. And that had a lot of buzz. People loved season 6. I think that has a chance.
Well, season 6 is when people are starting to, I feel like these kinds of reality shows can only be pure. Especially the dating reality shows, can only be pure for the first couple seasons, because then you're going to start casting people that know what's up. And it kind of happened in season 5, where you had somebody that was we actually dated outside of the show before. And then you get into this most current, the most recent season or whatever, and everybody's in on the game. I don't know. It just it's keeps it spicy, keeps it interesting.
I dig that. I dig that. What else we got in nonfiction reality? We have Unstructured Reality Program, Below Deck Down Under, Love on the Spectrum US, RuPaul's Drag Race Untucked, Vanderpump Rules, and Welcome to Wrexham. I don't have as much experience with these shows here, other than to say Welcome to Wrexham, I have been a big fan of. This last season is just feels like it's rinse and repeat. It's fine. I don't think it deserves to win anything, but you've seen most of the rest of these. What's your take?
This is Vanderpump Rules 1 to lose. The end of this season was the finale, which is what I'm assuming they must have submitted, was so good. There's a fourth wall break that's amazing.
But I've heard that up until that, people were a little bit soft on this season. Am I wrong?
People had been a little bit soft just because it is listen, Ariana didn't want to be around Tom.
Right.
And it's it's a TV show and you guys have to film this TV show, but you're also being let's be real. I want to be real. It's well, the real thing is that, if somebody cheated on you and you had to go to work with them,
I don't want to see this motherfucker.
You're going to be you know what? Can I go out of my way so I don't have to see him?
Right. Yeah.
But I still really was liking it. It was just that, I also recognized that, let this woman, have her peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fair. What do you want to see from her? For them to have, a really awkward interaction where she doesn't really want to talk to him, and he doesn't get to just be a good guy again.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You made the decision on what you did, dude.
Yeah.
So I think that, but also like I didn't see Below Deck Down Under because I haven't really watched a lot of the Below Deck shows, but when I have tuned in, like I do enjoy them.
Yeah. I will say anecdotally though, don't sleep on Love on the Spectrum. Like on my family chat.
Oh, I love Love on the Spectrum. It's good. It's really good.
That like when that came out, everyone was like, guys, I can't stand how much I love this show. Tears, heart welling. Mm-hmm. Like, don't sleep on Love on the Spectrum. That could be a bit of a dark horse here.
It's really good.
So we got Outstanding. We'll stick the last couple series here on the nonfiction space. Documentary or nonfiction series. We have Beckham on Netflix.
Loved it.
The Jinx Part 2, I have a lot to say about. We'll circle back there. Mm-hmm. Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV.
My pick.
Really? Okay, we'll come back to that. We have Stax, Soulsville, USA, which I didn't see, and then Telemarketers on HBO. If it's up to me.
My second pick.
Telemarketers. It was incredibly well done, a real piece of art. I liked it a lot. I did not watch Beckham, so I can't weigh in there.
I thought Beckham was great.
I did watch Quiet on Set. Here's the thing. Tell me why you voted for Quiet on Set, because was it an interesting story? Sure. Was it eye-opening and then it ruined all of our childhoods? Absolutely. Was it a well-produced piece of content? I'm not sure it was. I also think just after the fact, knowing how the producers approached it and how a lot of people felt about their involvement in it after the fact leaves a little bit of a sour taste. I don't know. It's just like, it was a phenomenon and it got huge ratings and it was, I don't know, we talk about best versus favorite all the time and the Emmys are rewarding best. I don't think this is the best. If it's someone's favorite because of how it makes you feel, I can totally get that. I just don't think it's the best compared to these other things.
So it's so funny because we definitely had two different experiences watching it. I didn't realize that it was an ID show. It didn't occur to me that like that's where its first home was.
Right. That's where it originated.
And I was just really like, I couldn't stop watching. Like as soon as, like, you know what I mean? Like I was drawn in and I thought it was really interesting. I thought that how they spooled the story out was really interesting.
Yeah. I also think too, like I watched the follow-up, which also
watch the follow-up.
I think that made my overall picture of the show ding a little bit because it was basically like, hey, remember when you said this shocking, upsetting thing? How did that make you feel? Just kind of like reliving moments. And I don't know. It just felt a little, by the end of it all, it just felt a touch exploitative, specifically with the Drake Bell of it all. I'm like, just leave this poor guy alone, for Christ's sakes. Just leave this man alone, you know? Like, he's been through enough.
They didn't need to get him back out. It's like, you got your bombshell.
Yeah. Similarly, though, The Jinx Part 2, why did we need this?
I didn't watch it.
I watched it, and it took me literally, Brandy, 3 months. Like, I'd watch two episodes and forget about it. And then I'd be like, oh, shit, I should finish that. Watch two more and forget about it. I'm like, all right, season one was phenomenal. Season one might be, I think, the best true crime series, maybe in my estimation of all time. I think it kind of engaged the whole genre in many ways. It like put it on its back. But season two, I'm like, okay, we know he was convicted. We know he died in jail. Yeah, he's got weird friends. Okay, the final episode felt totally unnecessary, digging into his second wife who maybe is complicit.
She seemed sketch.
It just felt like six episodes of epilogue. I'm like, it could have been like, I don't know, a one or two part special addendum to The Jinx, but you didn't need six episodes. It just felt overdrawn. It felt very self-congratulatory. Look at what we did. Our show got this man in jail and isn't that cool? And I just didn't think we needed it. I don't know. It weirdly feels like the second part of The Jinx showed me what we don't need in the true crime landscape these days compared to the first part. Like the first part reinvented a genre and the second part's like, yeah, this could have just been a podcast. You know, like it just had that vibe of like, did we really need this? And I think emphatically the answer is no. For me, Telemarketers has this all day if I'm voting.
I feel like I wasn't that drawn to watching part two of The Jinx because I get it. He definitely did it.
Right. That's the thing.
He definitely did it. Like, I don't need to see all the different ways in which we are proving that he did it. Because, I don't need any more proof.
Shocker. He incriminates himself on the stand. No shit.
Yeah. Like, believe people when they tell you who they are.
Right. Exactly.
I don't need to see more of what they are.
Yeah.
So I'm down. And Telemarketers was really good. Especially because I went into it. You tell me that it's a Danny McBride joint. Color me confused. And the Safdie brothers.
And a Safdie like, joint, yeah.
And most people were watching were like, wait, is this? Okay, that's what this is.
Yeah. Speaking of Safdies, by the way, we didn't touch on this when we were talking about those categories, but I think the biggest snub of all, The Curse. And maybe not for the full show, but Emma Stone in The Curse was unbelievable. She absolutely should have been nominated. I'm very confused why she wasn't.
I'm not confused. The reason is because of that last episode, man. Like,
But her performance was great in that last episode. Like, is it acting performance?
Yeah, but the whole last episode, I was like, I was already on the fence with how I felt about this show. And then we got to the last episode and I was like, get this show out of my face and never show it to me again.
See, that last episode was like, I'm going to think about the show forever. What a weird fucking thought-provoking thing that they did.
Oh, I was like, I never want to think about this again.
And I think that's the point. I think it is a very divisive show. So I understand, again, like not getting a best show or whatever, like that's fine.
But you are right. She did.
Emma Stone was incredible. She was so really, fucking really good in that show. Anyway, I digress. Speaking of front and center personalities, the last two categories we should discuss real quick. Outstanding hosted nonfiction series or special. We have Conan O'Brien Must Go, Finding Your Roots with Henry Louis Gates Jr., My Next Guest with David Letterman and John Mulaney, which is interesting. I think that's just like that one episode that they did, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
So it's like, are they doing it together now?
Maybe. I haven't seen it in a while, so I don't know. The Reluctant Traveler with Eugene Levy. And then I saved this one for last because I know you and I will probably both pick this one. The final season of How To with John Wilson.
Gotta do it.
Gotta do it. Speaking of Nathan Fielder, EP of How To with John Wilson. Yeah, that show is just something special. Absolutely one of a kind. Nothing like it. I really hope it wins. And then the last category, and I left this for last for a specific reason because I have a lot to say. I got to vent about something. So outstanding host for reality or reality competition program. We have RuPaul Charles from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
We have The Sharks from Shark Tank. We have Alan Cumming from The Traitors. We have Kristen Kish from Top Chef, which was a surprise. I thought that this season of Top Chef was subpar, but I really liked Kristen. I thought Kristen did a great job. That's what I would say. Does she deserve to win this? Probably not. I think Alan Cumming should win.
Yeah, me too.
The last person nominated is Jeff Probst from Survivor. In my opinion, Jeff Probst is everything that is wrong with New Era Survivor. And I cannot believe that he has been nominated as outstanding host. He is so annoying, so grating, so repetitive, so high in his own supply. He is everything wrong with the New Era. His commitment to twists and saying things like, that's what Survivor is, and that's how you do it on Survivor, and saying the most obnoxiously obvious things. It's mind-numbing and grating to a degree where when he has a long stretch of talking, I fucking fast forward. I don't care about Jeff. This show lives and dies with the contestants. I hate this nomination more than anything else we've talked about all day.
Wow. I mean, honestly, like, your vitriol towards this is both surprising and also, like, I totally get it. Even though I've never watched Survivor. I haven't watched a frame of Survivor. Honestly, if you had asked me yesterday who Jeff Probst is, I'd be like, I don't know. Is he used to be the guy that got fired from The Bachelor?
Brandy, imagine this. Imagine you're watching the challenge. And while the actual, like, challenge part of the challenge is happening, right? Like the literal challenge in the middle of the show. Instead of, you know, cutting to interviews with the people literally doing this challenge and getting inside their brain and inside their thoughts and what they're thinking and feeling. Instead, you have TJ Lavin yelling obnoxiously, narrating everything that's happening. How would you feel?
Not great.
This is what happens every episode on Survivor. Jeff gets up there and just yells at everybody exactly what's happening. It makes me so annoyed. I'm like, dude, I don't want to hear from you. If someone is literally drowning in mud or can't breathe because they're underwater and about to die, cut to their interview. Let me hear from them about what they're feeling in this moment. It drives me insane.
Well, guess what, Dan? He's going to lose to a fabulous gay man. One of two fabulous gay men are going to win this award.
It's going to be Rue or it's going to be Alan Cumming. Fuck yeah. Yes. Has to.
there's no way it's not either of them. Kristen Kish, like, I don't know. Like, I like this season of Top Chef. I was like, it was like, okay.
They had a bad cast. The cast was underwhelming.
Not a great cast. Like, it felt like there was that one guy that stayed in for way too long. Manny
was bad.
I'm like, why is this guy still in here? And like, honestly, like, I don't love the guy that won. I really wanted the woman to win.
Savannah was great. I did like Danny. I don't mind that he won.
And then Kristen Kish was just like, I don't know. Like, I just love Padma so much. It was a tough role to fill. I thought she did fine. But I also like, she always got like so weirdly emotional. I was like, girl, why are you crying right now?
I like that though, because she's been through it. She's been a contestant. She's now on the other side of it. She knows what it feels like more than anybody else up there, more than Tom, more than Gail, more than Padma did. Like, she knows what it feels like to be those competitors. I was touched when she got emotional. That actually, to me, like, won me over a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And like, they didn't overdo it in the edit. Mm-hmm. Like, they gave her moments.
Yeah.
You know, she had a little bit of edge. She had some personality. She's cursing here and there. She stands up against Tom with her feedback, I think. Like, I thought mm-hmm. she did really well as a host. I was surprised to see her, but not shocked. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, she was okay. It was okay.
All right. Let's draft some shows, shall we?
All right. Let's do it.
All right. So the rules are simple. We're going to draft from this crop of Emmy nominees. We're not drafting the entire history of these shows. So if you draft The Crown, you're not drafting all of The Crown as much as I would like to. You're drafting the final season of The Crown, for instance, right?
Okay.
If something is nominated for any of these major categories, it is up for drafting. So obviously best show, but also acting categories. And I also put down here for dramas and comedies in limiteds, writing and directing. And then, of course, all of the unscripted nonfiction shows that we talked about are up for grabs as well. So we have 5 slots to fill each. So this will become kind of like our top 10 of these nominees. So we're each going to pick 2 best shows,
okay,
2 favorite shows,
okay,
and 1 show that you could watch forever. And that's, again, specific to that season of television. So when you pick, also say where you're going to put it, a best, a favorite, or forever.
Okay. So I'm going to pick Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Wow.
And that is my forever show.
I love that for you. And I also love that for me. Because I'm also going to pick my forever show and it's going to be The Bear season 2. And it's not even close.
Okay.
Now this can go anywhere. That was the one I was really hoping to get.
Oh, that would have been so far down on my list.
The Bear? Really? Season 2? With fishes and forks?
No, I mean, I loved it. But like, as I'm looking, looking at this, like, I would have picked it eventually.
I have rewatched that season maybe 4 times already. Like, that is so locked in for me. Oh, my God.
Okay, well, I'm glad you got to pick that then. All right, so my next pick is for favorite, Hacks season 3.
Oh, good grab. Is a favorite, you said?
Mm-hmm.
This is exciting. I'm going to have to grab Baby Reindeer is the best.
Yeah.
I can't say favorite. That would be psychotic.
I can't. Like, that's how come I was like, it would have been a best for me. Like,
yeah, I've never seen anything like it. And I think what Richard Gadd did was one of the best things I've seen in a long time. I've never seen anything like it, like I said. So that's got to be a best for me. Okay, back to you.
I think that my best is going to be Fargo season 5.
That's a good one. That's a good pick. We have yet to select a drama series. No dramas off the board yet. I'm trying. Oh, so this is where strategy comes in, because I'm like, I know what I want, but I also know at least one of these you're never going to pick. So I can keep one for later. Oh, fuck. I know exactly what I'm going to do. Traitor season 2 is a favorite.
Yeah, that's
got to take it.
Yeah, you took that.
Got to take it, because that would be on your board for sure. Right.
But you know what is on my board for my next favorite?
What?
Girls 5 Eva. It got a writing nomination.
Ooh, I still haven't seen that.
It's, Dan, it's so good. And it's such an easy watch, too. And it's just so funny. And it's like, I don't know if you like, but it also depends, like, if you like that Tina Fey style.
I absolutely do.
It's very, because, like, I feel like some people were turned off from that. But, like, it's definitely, it's the 30 Rock, the Kimmy Schmidt, all of it. Even though, like, I think she's just an EP on it. It's,
Yeah.
But, like, you can see her fingerprints all over it.
Okay. Where did you put that? Best or fave?
Favorite.
Fave? Okay. Okay. I got 2 left. I know it's going to kill me to not take Reservation Dogs, but I'm going to leave it off the board. I've said so much about that show on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as much as I love that show in totality, the final season just doesn't quite hit compared to some of these other things. I'm going to go with Mr. and Mrs. Smith is a favorite. Okay. I think that it deserves a little bit more love.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the performances were great. And I also just think that from a vibe standpoint, it's a world that you just want to be in.
Mm.
They're going up, they're abroad. They're literally like, they went to the French Alps, and I watched it like a week before I went to the French Alps, and I was just like so jazzed and excited about it. Just a really fun, sexy, cool, like when I think, what was one of my favorite things I watched? Was it the best thing I've seen all year? Absolutely not. But it just has such favorite vibes. I'm like, oh yeah, I'd rewatch that. That was fun. Mm-hmm. That was cool. That was a vibe. So I'm going to go Mr. and Mrs. Smith is my fave.
Okay. So I'm really torn between what my last best is, because I've got two options.
Right.
And those two options are so good. So the first option is True Detective Night Country.
Okay.
And the second option is that most recent season of Black Mirror.
Where was that nominated?
For writing. I think it was just Joan is Dead. Is that the name of the episode? It was the one with Alexis from Schitt's Creek. And it was like Netflix was basically like tailoring shows to be about you. And like Selma Hayek is in it. It's really good. But those episodes, because that was also the season that had Josh Hartnett, right? Like they went to space.
Yes, 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 yes.
And Jesse from Breaking Bad. And also like the super creepy episode that took place in Ireland that ended up being like a true crime. It was like their take on true crime.
I'm pulling them up now so we can put some names to these. So we had Joan is Awful is the one you're talking about. The Netflix meta. I've watched that episode maybe 3 or 4 times. Super cool. A lot of layers.
Mm-hmm.
Lock Henry was a true crime one, which I also loved. Mm-hmm. And Beyond the Sea was the Josh Hartnett,
space one, yeah.
Aaron Paul space one. I'm glad you brought this up because I really enjoyed the season of Black Mirror. And I had kind of like a mini best favorite forever embedded in it. Like when I talk about it, I'm like, mm-hmm. Beyond the Sea was one of the better episodes I've seen. I'll never watch it again. It was so upsetting, but it was the best. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like Lock Henry, I'm like, it reminds me of developing true crime shows for work. Kind of a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But like Joan is Awful, I could watch over and over again and get new layers every time. Like forever vibes. You know what I mean? Like, wow, I love this. Okay. So you're between Black Mirror. What was the other one you said?
True Detective Night Country. And you know what? I think I'm going to go with True Detective Night Country just because like on the whole, like this entire season was really good. And it's actually, again, you know, it's only, I think, 6 episodes.
Oh, is that right?
So it's not a heavy lift.
Okay.
If you want to check it out.
Okay.
And it's really good. And they really like, just like the way that the indigenous people of the area are really given their flowers is pretty amazing.
I like that. I got to check that out. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm going to choose it. True Detective Night Country is best.
I'm surprised you didn't throw Loot on here with all the praise you were giving Loot.
Loot would have been, I know, like it was honestly between Loot and Girls 5 Eva, but like Girls 5 Eva, like every single episode was on.
I got to check that out. See, again, I love our conversations because I'm reminded of things that have snuck by me that I know I will love.
I feel like Girls 5 Eva snuck by everybody because it was on Peacock and then the new season came out on Netflix.
Right. Yeah.
And now I don't think it's been renewed again, which is just like such a shame. That's the kind of show that I would love 100 episodes of that show. That's the show I want in syndication.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. With my last pick, in the steal of the century, the presumptive favorite to win best drama, Shogun, is my last pick in best.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised you hadn't picked that already.
Because I knew you were never going to.
Yeah.
I can see what else I can get around with. For a half second, I'm like, should I go Ripley and really fuck shit up? But I loved Ripley. It actually feels more like a favorite, though, to me than a best. It kind of rides that line between the two. I liked it a lot. I really enjoyed Fallout, which we didn't talk about a lot. Did you check out Fallout?
I didn't check out Fallout. It didn't seem like it was up my alley, but then everybody was talking about it. I love Walton Goggins. I think he's so great.
He's really good in this, too.
Which, like, by the way, like, why didn't we get any Righteous Gemstones on this? Did they miss the window?
Maybe they weren't in the window. Oh, shit. Can we talk about one? We didn't talk about this category. But the fact, because like TV movie, like whatever, I don't really care about. But Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart movie, was nominated for Best TV Movie.
How did that get nominated?
I watched that just because I love Pop-Tarts. And it's like an inside joke with my family. We talk about Pop-Tarts all the time. I literally have a Pop-Tart card game made by Kellogg's. It's like a Sushi Go-esque fast-paced little like party game. And it's super fun. That movie was maybe the worst thing I've seen all year.
I'm just not going to ever watch it.
I cannot believe how bad it was. That is an abomination. Anyway, all right. To recap our list, Brandy, do you want to read your top five from these nominees and where you place things?
Yeah, so my top five, the final season of Curb Your Enthusiasm is forever for me. Hacks season 3 and Girls 5 Eva are my favorites. And my best shows from this particular lineup are Fargo season 5 and True Detective Night Country.
That's a very Brandy list. Comedy heavy, some hard-hitting dramas. That's a good list.
A lot of girl power in there.
Exactly, exactly. So my two best shows from this Emmy slate are Baby Reindeer and Shogun. My favorite shows from this slate are The Traitor season 2 and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And the season of TV I would watch forever is The Bear season 2.
Crazy for that, Dan. That's a stressful forever.
It is and it isn't. The season 2 of The Bear...
It wasn't as stressful, except for the fishes episode.
Not as stressful as season 1. It's not Carmy going bonkers because everything's failing around him. It's not season 3 going bonkers because no one's up to his standard. Season 2 is like, they're building something. It reminds me of making TV. Like, there's ideas flying and they're ripping down walls and remaking shit and talking about menus. It's like...
And I loved how we got all of the specific character episodes. Like, we get Marcus. We get Sydney.
Yes.
We get Richie. And then we got that whole family background was so great.
That crazy fishes thing. Yeah, it's The Bear at its finest. I don't think it's ever been as good. And I'm very happy about it. So, all right, Brandy, this was so much fun.
It was.
We've been too long. If you've made it this far, I can tell you why we haven't been on in a while. It's because I have been producing and hosting another podcast that has taken up a lot of my time. If you're a fan of Alone, check out Alone, the official podcast. We host with Lucas Miller from season 1, Callie North from season 3. We have producers on. We have other former participants. We have the folks from this season as they tap out. We interview them. It's great. We drop every Friday, the day after new airings of Alone on History Channel.
My job.
Yes, exactly. A little bit of kismet.
But I don't work on Alone.
It's funny. You don't work on Alone, but you work at History. I don't work at History, but I work on Alone. So we're kind of coming at it from both ends, you know? This season of Alone, and I've seen most of the seasons now as I've been catching up on some that I've missed. Incredible, incredible season of Alone. So check that out if you're not. It's every Thursday. And then our podcast comes out on Fridays. So,
and it's a very good podcast. I have listened.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. But anyway, that said, we will be back with more TV BFFs sooner than you think. Mm-hmm. We have criterias to update. We have more drafts to do. We have interviews I'm excited about. So stick around. We'll be back before too long. And also, I mean, we got Traitors coming back for season 3. Brandy, we have the Challenge 40 Battle of the Eras coming up. That's going to give us a lot to talk about.
Which finally, the challenge is back. They did it.
It fucking better be. I mean, in my estimation, the most recent good season of the challenge, like Challenge USA, I've not been a huge fan of. This past season of All Stars was not very good. Mm. 39 was bad. I'll tell you what, if they don't nail season 40... The challenge is not long for my criteria. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
It's right on the edge. It's teetering. One more bad outing and it's fucking gone. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Can't do it. Anyway, this has been fun. We will be back very soon. Until next time. Goodbye, friends.
Bye, friends.